everybody. The topic that I would like to discuss would be wisdom's children, and the verse that comes out of is commonly a non-understood verse, where the Lord answers some of the Pharisees and says, "But wisdom is justified of her children." Luke 7:35. A lot of people don't know what that means, so my intent today is to describe what that means, where everybody in this room can understand what that means, and that I can give examples of exactly practical, down-to-earth examples of what that looks like in life. So, you might be able to say that women seek out wise men, and then men have to seek out wisdom for themselves. Part of that is reality seems to hit women harder than it does men, because while most women expect to be married to a wise man, average men don't actually understand where they fall in the line of things by their decisions and their actions. I mean, the fool is too foolish to know he's the fool. But wise men are rare. And most of the time, they're not easily understood by the masses of people. So Luke 7:35, to look at the context there, Jesus says, "They are like unto children sitting in a marketplace," speaking of the Pharisees, "and calling one to another and saying, 'We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not wept.'" Okay, so what he continues there, "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you said, 'He hath a devil.' The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, 'He's a glutton and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners.' But wisdom is justified of her children." So, in the first part, the first half of that, they're basically saying, he's responding to the fact that he, Jesus, and John the Baptist did not come doing the standard of what everybody thought they should do. "They piped unto you, but you haven't danced. You're supposed to dance, and you're not dancing. We've mourned unto you, and you haven't wept. You're not doing what everybody else is doing. You're not doing what the common people are doing. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, but Jesus came eating and drinking, and they complained about both of them." Okay, so what the Lord is saying here is that some people, whatever you will do, will complain about you. And if you do the opposite, they'll complain about that too. But wisdom is justified of her children. And people say, "Well, how does wisdom have children?" Okay, wisdom, listen, everybody, listen. Wisdom has children. The very one sentence summarizes this verse. Wisdom has children in the same way a spirit has fruit. Okay, wisdom is justified of her children. Okay, out of all men, wise men are the ones that have kept their families with them in spirit by being able to provide scriptural direction that their wife and their children want to follow. Okay, they live a life by different principles and different codes of ethics, which is what the Pharisees were experiencing with Christ. The wise man's family's needs are met. Okay, Psalms 37 says, "I have been young and am now old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread." Okay, everyone can have a good year or a good season, but wise men are wise consistently for decades at a time, over and over. Wise men tend to be determined and they tend to be focused. Okay, Colossians 3:23, you can look that up. "And most of the wise men have traded at least a decade of their lives seeking wisdom as the chief principle of their guidance." Okay, Proverbs 4:7. "With wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding." Okay, many men wish that their lives were different. Okay, wise men have the understanding and knowledge of what has to happen in order to make a difference in these people's lives. And his life is proof of that. Wise men are men who, despite starting alongside everybody else, or a lot of times below everybody else, as in the case of Christ and Moses, they somehow have managed through persistence and dedication and scriptural study to detach themselves from those who are seeking lower things in order to find the Lord. Unwise men seem to think having fancy cars, being the talkative one in the group, or things like that is what makes you wise. And that's not it. Okay, the children of wisdom, the fruit of wisdom, the result of wise decisions are shown by what you're capable of and the ability to work in reality to produce a godly life for you and your family. And in the meantime, meeting everybody else's needs and working to satisfy the needs of everybody that enters your presence. You're looking for wisdom. You're looking at the outcome, not the cause or the effort. You can't, with wisdom, you can't fake it until you make it. Okay? When it comes to wisdom. Because integrity plays a major role. Because integrity stops the nonsense. Wise men don't need to pretend or say they are wise. And the public perception is a result of their focus, which is on God. The results of their decisions, the fruits of their decisions, the children of their decisions, puts them in a position to make more decisions, which shows more of their wisdom. Wise men spend their lives focusing on freedom in their lives. Colossians 6:12, Paul says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Okay, so what good is it if you drive a fancy car on your way to the rat race where other people tell you what to do, how to do it, how to use the results of the effort that you've put in? Okay, that's not freedom. Okay, if you're in that, you're not free. It's like having golden handcuffs, where somehow the money is too good or the bondage you've created is so deep that you're trading your time, effort, and life thinking you have freedom. Okay? The problem is that many times it takes several years before you actually realize it's been a bad trade and you're wearing handcuffs. Okay? That's why wise men are usually older. Okay? You're probably not going to be an incredibly wise man in your 20s because you haven't actually been through enough real life experience to acquire the wisdom. Unless you're able to seek out and follow the direction of the wise men who have gone at life before you. Okay, iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Okay? There's no such thing as a wise loner man or woman. Okay, loners are these people who think they can do everything themselves. Okay, and that's an incredibly wrong mentality. Okay, and I personally experienced it. I've worked incredibly hard through my 20s, through full-time jobs, and sometimes holding two full-time jobs while going to college for 5 years and trying to outwork anyone who was in my presence, only to discover that I had become an island. So the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. So what happens is most men go through their life and they're trying to prove who they are to everybody. They're trying to prove that they're wise. But wise men go through their lives trying to improve who they are, not prove who they are. Okay, so a young person who dedicates themselves, a young person, 15, 16, 22, 23, a young person who will dedicate themselves to wisdom in their lives, that will spend a decade or two of their lives, by the time they get to their 40s, they will be drastically different than the common person. They will think differently. They will understand differently. They will analyze things differently. They will have more insight, more knowledge, more thoroughness. They've spent more time in prayer. They've spent more time fasting. They've just spent more time. Okay, Wise people are very rare, okay? But they tend to find each other out and discuss things together. That's why the Queen of Sheba went to visit Solomon. You have to build relationships with other wise people in order for your wisdom to grow and the children of your wisdom to flourish. Okay? Nobody cares if you think you're wise yourself. Okay? Your wisdom is determined by the children of your decisions and the people you surround yourself with. Okay? There's a nobility that comes to wisdom. Okay? Otherwise, people have to see the children of your wisdom. That's why most people aren't wise. They may get lucky once. They get lifted up with pride. And since they don't have a noble character, and then they come down and complain about everyone else around them and how it was everybody else's fault. Okay, that's not wisdom. Okay, while many of us know the story of Solomon and the wisdom that he exhibited at the time, the wisest man. And we know the story of the wisdom that he had in the affairs of others and the situations and within the kingdom. Very few of us actually realize that he seldom showed good judgment in his own personal life. Okay? A couple of examples of his bad judgment included his decision to hoard mass amounts of wealth and build an extravagant palace on the backs of countless slaves. Okay? He also had hundreds of wives and concubines, many of them from foreign lands, and he allowed his wives to bring the worship of their gods into his home, which is considered idolatry in Israel. But the most shocking element of Solomon's bad judgment is how Solomon failed to prepare his son, Rehoboam, to become a wise king. So when Solomon died and Rehoboam took the throne, Rehoboam ignored the advice of his own advisors and dealt harshly with his people. His selfishness led to the end of Israel under one king, where the kingdom of Israel broke free from Rehoboam's rule in the north, and Rehoboam ruled the south kingdom of Judah alone. And this is the culmination of Solomon's lifetime of bad personal decisions that ruined his once great kingdom. Okay, so a clown is a clown, even if you put him on a throne. All right, and if you put a clown on a throne, the whole kingdom becomes a circus. Okay, so you know who the wise men are. All right, everybody does. You might not know them personally, or you might not even like them. Okay, but they are able to be seen. Their children, the results of their fruit, are visible. Okay, despite not trying to, they are very usually making their wise decisions, which somehow puts some sort of focus on them. Okay, wise men think differently. Now, this can make them intriguing, but it also kind of makes them intimidating. So how do they handle the question? You look at them and you go, how do they do so much with so little time? But it typically lies in their ability to use the resources and the people and the just the things that they have around them. Okay, but their actions are transparent. Okay, they're legal and they're by the Bible. Okay, nobody can say otherwise. You can't be wise and be in jail. Okay, you can't be wise and not paying your bills on time. Okay, or you can't be wise in having shady deals or questionable elements within business. Okay, there's no honor among thieves. And wise men value trust and their reputation. Okay, games are for children, and wise men don't play them because they can afford to walk away. Wise men never stop learning. They never stop growing. Okay, for them, the growing is actually part of the joy. Okay, you will not meet a wise man who does not read. Okay. Who doesn't spend time? The wise men will spend time with older wise men in order to learn from them. Okay. Wise men are seeking mentors to help guide their walk. Now, these mentors are there to make sure the desire and the purpose of the one seeking wisdom is in line with the Scriptures. And most of the time, this is a father or a grandfather. Okay, men gain wisdom from growth. Okay, a man that's not growing is just waiting to die. Okay, growth for men come in many ways. Okay, and I believe, personally, I believe I've been given four talents, and I don't really need to talk about that today, but if you ask me, I'll share my thoughts on those four talents. But wise men don't go through these types of midlife crises because they keep their life full and complete and content in the Lord. Okay? If a wise person were to die today, they would know that they have lived a life for God and made the most of the talents that they've been given. And you may be the one with the most money in the bank account, but if you still lose your soul, you're not going to be very wise. Okay, wise men are confident in their ability through Christ and have proven it in the past and can do it again. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, these aren't men who strut around like peacocks wanting to be seen. Okay? Their understanding is that their wisdom and gifts come from the Lord Himself and not of themselves. Okay? These men are able to adapt to their situations and their environments. So if you take all their lifelong possessions and anything that they have and all their earnings away from them, it doesn't really matter, because you can't take away their wisdom, understanding, or knowledge. And if they serve anywhere in the world, even if everything stays behind, the wisdom still goes. Okay? Reputation is the most valuable thing a man can build from a status perspective. Okay? Children, physical children, are the most valuable thing that a man can have from a material perspective. Okay, both of them are extremely important to wise men. Okay, Peter said, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accused your good conversation in Christ. Conversation a lot of times means actions. Okay, they know their reputation needs to be protected at all costs. Okay, they don't do shaky business deals, and anybody that does business with them knows that they will be treated fairly. That's why you don't see wise men with those people who aren't wise most of the time, or at least seeking wisdom. Okay, that's why wise men choose the spouses that they do. So, the spouse of a wise man should actually aid in increasing his wisdom. Okay? It should aid in increasing his life's purpose and his work in Christ. Okay? You can tell a lot about a person just by who they spend time with and who they choose to build a family and a life with. Okay? Wise men have an intense focus on growth and the way their family live because they are focused on eternity. Wise men are present fathers, but because the need in the world for the wisdom, they're usually responsible for more than just their own household. Okay? But, I mean, anybody that doesn't spend time, any man that doesn't spend time with his family will never be a real man. Okay? That's why his partner, his spouse or her spouse, but they need to be able to raise godly children. So wise men understand that time is short and want something to live beyond life itself. Okay? So it would be a shame for you to allow your lineage to die eternally. So in closing, what does wisdom is justified by her children mean? How does it look in reality? How does it manifest itself? How does wisdom have children? Okay? Wisdom has children like a spirit has fruit. Okay? When Jesus challenged his listeners that wisdom is justified of her children, he was saying that the soundness of wisdom can be judged by the fruit of that wisdom or those decisions. The people of that generation thought they had sound wisdom and they were prideful in their own ability to discern and judge. But Jesus challenged their wisdom by looking at the children of their wisdom. What did that wisdom produce?